This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Thanks for being with us on the show today. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Our guest is Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton, and we'd love to have your questions for him on the show today. Call those in to 765-496-1999. You can email them to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I understand you're just back from a trip to Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were in Atlanta Sunday evening, Monday and Tuesday, so I've been back a couple of days now.
So let's talk about that for a second, because this was sort of an economic development trip. You were going there thanks to the Indiana Municipal Power Agency. We talked last month how their governing body is now led by a Crawfordsville local. Was the conference about electricity, or was it about more about economic development?
Well, no, it really wasn't a conference. We took the opportunity to go and make contact with some of the site selection firms in Atlanta. And if you follow what happens in the U.S., especially in the eastern part of the U.S., a lot of this is driven through these firms in Atlanta. So we wanted to go get some face time with them, meet with them one-on-one. And we really had a mixed strategy. Part of our time was with the larger, well-established, well-known names in that field. And then we spent some time also with some of the smaller startups that are maybe a little hungrier and out there taking a different approach, trying to make things happen. So we had a lot of good, you know, FaceTime, if you will, with these groups. And it's about, you know, getting before them and kind of getting this region or maybe even our own communities in their minds as they're thinking about projects. But it's also a great opportunity to really learn from them. And you know, while you're there, not only learn from them, but learn from looking around. I mean, Atlanta, I think, is maybe the second fastest growing economy in the U.S. right now. So some really fascinating things there. Just some small takeaways to bring back to our own communities.
What do you mean when you say some of the younger or smaller firms are taking a different approach?
Well, I think traditionally what you'll see is the bigger firms that look strictly at data. You know, they're looking at, you know how many housing permits have been issued in a community and excuse me, those types of things. And then you'll see some of these younger firms come in and they're looking more at quality of place, quality of life, what kind of innovative things are happening in a community and trying to find, you know, that next community that's going to take off out of the gate, if you will. And those are vastly different approaches. So, you know, the bigger, larger, more well-established, we're pretty rooted in, you know, looking at data, analyzing data, and we saw that the younger ones were looking at different things.
So with respect to being very data-driven like that, I get the sense that a lot of times when site selection firms look at cities, they go and they say, what does the feel like? Do you mean to say that these younger firms are looking strictly at the numbers and they're not coming to feel out a city like yours?
Well, I don't think you get the opportunity for them to really, you know, come and check out your community many times in the traditional sense. So, you know, if a larger firm's looking and they're just looking at data, they may create a list of, you know, 10 sites or 5 sites, whatever. And then they might start exploring your community. And many times, based on the data alone, you're not going to make that cut. You're not going to get noticed. And we see these other smaller startups kind of starting and doing this in reverse. They're kind of looking for these innovative communities. So it's not that we don't show well or we don't do well when we get to that point. We just, you know, we don't get to that point most of the time. And I'm not just talking about Crawfordsville. I'm talking about most communities in the state of Indiana.
So you've now been to Japan with Governor Holcomb, which we talked a lot about when you came back from that trip, and now to a major American city on this trip, all of which you have said you hope will generate more economic development, more especially young, skilled people coming to work in the community. What is the shelf life, I'm wondering, on these contacts? Do you have, do you think, a finite amount of time from when you get back home to make some of these contacts come to fruition before Crawfordsville winds up on a back burner?
You know, I think that probably varies depending on the particular instance. For example, the contacts you make in Japan, no one expects those to yield results, you know, immediately, or maybe even not even in a year or two. Those are relationships that take a great deal of time to build. So that shelf life is much, much longer. When you look at the domestic side, that shelf life is probably shorter. And you need to, you know, you don't want to just meet with these people and then they go on about their business and they forget about you. I've already had email contact since returning with three of them, just to kind of keep that dialogue going and try to stay present in their mind. So there's shelf life is definitely shorter on the domestic side.
So when you go to these things and you pitch Crawfordsville, do people ever tell you that they've actually heard of your city?
Occasionally, you know, it's hit and miss. Sometimes they have, sometimes they, you know, many times they have not. What I found in Atlanta, which is interesting, many of the people with whom we were talking had done work in Indiana or maybe even from Indiana or Illinois, Ohio. So they were much more familiar with the lay of the land, if you will, and perhaps even, you know, in my own community. So it varies considerably. You know, what you find is that you kind of have to gauge that, and sometimes, you know, you're describing where your community is at, and you'll say, you know, we're northwest of Indianapolis, and they get that. You know, and I had some, I'll try the Purdue card sometimes to say, you know, look, we're just south of Lafayette, West Lafayette and Purdue, and sometimes that registers, and many times, you know, that's not even equating. So you just have to gauge it.
I sort of wondered if anybody ever shook your hand and smiled at you and politely said, oh, yeah, sure, Crawfordsville, I've heard of that. Does that ever happen to you?
No, absolutely. Yeah, and it happened on this trip. One of the upstart firms, the principal for that firm, actually, his wife is from Danville, Illinois. They fly into Indianapolis frequently and drive from Indianapolis to Danville, Illinois, and have stopped in Crawfordsville. So he was very well aware of our community.
I was thinking of the way that you might go to these things and try to publicize yourselves. And you may think of somebody who is more famous, but it seems to me that the most famous living Crawfordsville native is probably Will Shortz, the editor of the New York Times Crossword Puzzle, NPR's Puzzle Master. Have you ever considered trying to get him to do publicity for you that you could take to these things? Somebody who has a national resonance to their persona who would say, yeah, I'm from Crawfordsville.
Well, you know, we've not really thought of that. That would be a different take. My experience is that you know, site selectors and people in this world they're pretty focused. They're pretty laser focused, and there's not a lot of time for, you know, outside extraneous miscellaneous stuff. So I think we might be able to do that, but we would definitely have to use some caution in that field. You just have to gauge it every time. If there's room for small talk and throwing in some stuff like that, you take it, certainly. And many times you sense that there's not. So you just kind of have to play it by ear.
So what you're saying is you might be able to get Will Shortz to do the video for you, but whether the site selector views that video might be
exactly.
Another thing.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
So when you go on a trip like this, what do you think that citizens of Crawfordsville expect from you? Do you get the sense that they want something tangible to come from these trips if they send you out on one of them, or is raising the profile enough?
Well, I guess what I sense is that people want you out there trying, and I think people have realistic expectations for the most part. I don't believe, you know, I don't hear from people saying, you know, you should bring back X number of jobs from every trip. People are realistic and they understand that this is a process. You know, I think from what I'm hearing from people, you know, hey, we're glad you're out there trying and you're at least making an effort. And if it yields results, that's wonderful. And if not, keep trying until you see more results. And it's a tough call right now because, you know, frankly, we have a lot of unfilled full-time jobs in our community. There's a lot of opportunity here. So, you know, you're not just out there searching, trying to bring back numbers of jobs. You're wanting to strive for a different, higher quality and higher pay and things like that. It's not economic development as it existed probably a decade ago. But, you know, I get a clear sense from people that they appreciate you doing this and you making the effort. And I think most people realize that these kinds of trips are, it's not a vacation, that's for sure. I mean, we had a very tight, aggressive schedule in Atlanta and literally went from meeting to meeting all day with transit time, you know, in Atlanta traffic to get from this, you know, this place of business to this place of business. And those can be pretty rough. It would be far easier just to stay at home in Crawfordsville and, you know, see what happens. But I don't really believe in that.
All that said, what about the city council or the county council or commissioners? Do you think they have different expectations, since they are also overseeing different arms of government, overseeing the way that investment is done, things like that? Do they have high expectations of you when you go on one of these?
Well, I'm not sure that I can answer that exactly, other than I think, you know, there may be minor differences in how different bodies view approaching this, but I sense for the most part that we're all pretty much on the same page. And keeping in mind that, you know, in most cases they're in part-time positions and they don't have the, you know, the ability to do some of these things. And when I go, I make it very clear that I do everything I can to represent not only the city of Crawfordsville, but the surrounding communities. And if I see something that's an opportunity for Montgomery County or a surrounding county, you know, I'll work that just as hard. So maybe some minor differences there, but for the most part, I think we're all on the same page. And you know, we have the Economic Development Authority meetings, which are very, very good, and it really brings all the players to the table at the same time. And all of this is put on the table, so everybody understands what's happening, who's doing what, and we find ways to pull that together.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. Call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Email them to ask@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. We got a question from a listener, which will segue into our next topic. Our listener wants to know, what sorts of rules will be in place for the upcoming Strawberry Festival regarding public smoking and or vaping?
Well, that's a really good question. I believe the festival itself has a policy, and I'm not sure if they've, you know, updated that in recent years. You know, anything that happens on the festival grounds will be up to them. Anything that happens on a public street, obviously, goes by the normal, you know, regulations that are in place, which basically in Crawfordsville we follow the state statute. So, you know, none of the smoking inside the public buildings, but if somebody's doing it within, 8 feet of the entrance, then it's allowed. But I'm not sure exactly what the festival committee has set for the festival grounds. That would be something I'd have to check with them on.
I was looking at the food vendor map this morning, and I noticed that there are only 18 spaces. Is that the size that you want for that, or are you hoping there is gradually going to be more participation, perhaps bringing in more businesses from both within and without?
Well, yeah, there's probably two different ways to approach that. I guess there's my view, which is, hey, let's try to grow this and make it bigger. And then I think, obviously, the committee that actually oversees and puts on the festival is probably pretty conservative in their growth, and I understand that. You know, we have grown the size of the area. We added Water Street to that a few years ago to allow for some more things and to improve safety. So there's room to grow it, but I fully understand, you know, their desire to keep it manageable and to ensure the quality, if you will. They're pretty careful about the vendors they bring in. So I kind of have to just leave that up to them, and they've been doing it a very long time, and they're very good at it, so we'll kind of follow their lead.
Still, though, this is the sort of marquee event that your community holds every summer. I think it's something that Crawfordsville is known for, so shouldn't you get some say? Shouldn't you get, because hopefully you're the community that's going to get the most benefit from this.
Well, certainly. And I'm not going to say that I don't have say. I'm not going to say that I don't try to influence that, but you know, I'm not going to create a situation where, you know, I'm demanding that they grow by a certain amount each year. I think the biggest challenge there right now, and you know, this is kind of a tricky area, is that most of the people who volunteer and lead the festival have been doing it for many, many years. And, you know, they're looking to groom that next generation of volunteers, if you will, to step forward and take this festival by the reins. They're getting some of that done, but not in the numbers that they would like to see. And that's probably where the change really has to start to occur is, you know, when you get that next generation of volunteers ready, they can take and change the vision and grow this vision. In my mind, there's plenty of room for growth, but you've got to have the volunteers to be able to manage that. And they clearly have not felt that they were there. So, you know, the other tricky part is the entertainment, and I hear a lot about this. And, you know, when they go and they hire national level acts to come in for this festival, I don't care what decision they make, it's not going to make everyone happy. So I hear different generations saying, yeah, that was absolutely wonderful. And then I hear another generation say, you know, this is terrible entertainment and I'm not sure I'll come back next year. So that's a very, very difficult task to balance that.
Is there anything in terms of programming or in terms of the outcome of the festival that has not been able to happen or that you haven't been able to do that you want to see, especially if it's something that might help draw in bigger attendance?
Well, just general growth for me, you know, and I it's going to be interesting to see how the Stellar projects will impact Stellar or impact the Strawberry Festival in years to come. Not so much this year because they won't be done in time, but, you know, moving forward, I think those will present an opportunity to really change the shape of the festival and change what's happening at the festival in dramatic fashion. And what I mean is if you think of Pike Place being, you know, sort of attached and you think about the opportunities with parking that will exist at Trailhead Park, and when the trail system starts to be done, especially with the second phase that crosses by the Lane Place grounds, and then throw in a Ben Hur building with a hotel in it, which is basically, you know, joined up with the festival, you start to have all kinds of options that you don't currently have. And I think we can see dramatic change then. So, you know, right now I think people are just kind of waiting to see how all this plays out and how the downtown gets transformed. And then I think you'll start to see some big changes.
When you're putting on an event like this, do you view it primarily as something for the existing citizens of Crawfordsville, or do you think it's done primarily to draw people from outside of the city who might not have thought about coming to Crawfordsville? And I'm going to put a stipulation on this that you can't say both.
Well, you took my answer. I'm not sure that they rank one higher than the other. I mean, certainly there's a focus on bringing outside people in, and when, you know, I spend a lot of time at the festival every year, and I quite frankly don't know many of the people there, and I know a lot of people in Crawfordsville. So, you know, when you look at the people coming in for the sporting events, the softball tournaments and so on, the car shows, and just go down the list, there are a lot of out-of-town people coming to that festival, and ultimately that, I think, probably is the goal, is to bring them in to showcase our community, and they're going to spend some money, which supports the nonprofits operating the booths many times. So I guess I'm going to have to say that's the answer, is to bring in outside people. But make no mistake, this is important to not everybody locally, but to many people locally. They enjoy the free music and a chance to get together and, you know, just kind of be there. And it's just a great event.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton on today's Ask the Mayor show here on WBAA. Call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Email ask at WBAA.org or tweet at WBAA News on Twitter. While we're on the subject of weekend events, we're hearing the Indy 500, which of course is Sunday. It's going to be well attended this year, not a sellout perhaps like last year. I'm wondering, are your hotels and restaurants already seeing race traffic? Have you gotten any sense of what to expect?
I've not spoken to them directly, so I guess I can't say for sure, but I would imagine that they have. They usually do. You know, those dynamics have changed over the years, and you can read that different ways, but, you know, the rooms were always sold out in Crawfordsville on race weekend, and I'm not sure that that's exactly the case now. Maybe it is, but we saw that decrease some over the years, but you have to remember there are many other options now, you know, in and around Indianapolis that just did not exist years ago. For example, think about, you know, between Indianapolis and Crawfordsville, or the Speedway in Crawfordsville, I mean, we were it. We were the next stop. And now you have how many hotel rooms in Brownsburg, for example. So there are many other options out there that just previously weren't there, and I think that affected the dynamics. But make no mistake, there are a lot of race fans who choose to stay in Crawfordsville that weekend, and it does have an impact on us locally.
On to some other things. We noticed where you've selected the first dozen members of your new youth council. I wondered what you need them to tell you that is information or advice you haven't been able to get before.
Well, they're going to do several things for us. You know, first and foremost, you know, any item that goes before the city council or the county commissioners, after first reading, it'll go to the youth council. And they will research it, they will discuss it, debate it, and they will ultimately vote on it themselves, then choosing someone from their body to go and report to the city council or the county commissioners. And, you know, clearly their vote is a non-binding vote. It's an advisory role. But it will be really interesting to see how that plays out and how their view is similar or not similar to that of those other bodies. So that's one little piece of that. There's an educational component in which we want to, you know, further their knowledge of government and the process and how things work. That seems to be sorely, sorely lacking. I mean, if you look around the community and the discussions that take place, and you scratch your head and wonder what people are learning, because they clearly do not understand how the governmental process works. And then, you know, we want input from them on very specific issues about moving the community forward and creating the kind of community that they want to live in down the road. And a good example of that is, you know, we hear from that age group that there's nothing to do in the community for people their age. And Pike Place will be online this summer. And I've already told that group, you know, it's yours several nights a week. You create the programming that your generation wants to see in that park. And you promote it how it thinks you think it should be promoted to reach people your age, you know, and within reason, within bounds, it's yours to program. So, you know, they'll have the opportunity to create the things that they want to do in this community. We're going to give them the ability to really have an impact.
You mentioned that their votes are non-binding, and I wanted to ask you what kind of sway you think that their opinions are going to have. For instance, if they say to the city council, I think we should spend money on X, Y, or Z, how much do you think that the city council, which is considerably older, is going to listen?
I'm not sure yet. You know, that's not happened yet. So I think they will put some serious weight on what the youth are telling them, but it probably will depend on the subject. And, you know, if you get into money matters, and that can be a complicated issue of, you know, we're going to prioritize spending this way or that way, you know, that input might diminish some in that case. I'm not sure, but this is uncharted territory for us, and you really can't say what's going to happen. I'm not sure yet.
I was looking at statistics from the Census Bureau this morning, and somewhere between a quarter and a fifth of your citizens are 18 years old or younger. And for reference, your percentage is about 1% less than the state's population as a whole. So you live in a community that's just a little older than the state average, at least on that end of the scale. Are you tasking this first group at all with trying to make it seem somewhat younger, even if it's not?
I don't know that we want to, you know, create any kind of false appearance. I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. But what we do want them to create is that sense among people their age that they do have a say and they are being listened to, and we are trying to create the type of place that they want to call home as they, you know, start their adult lives. That's what we want to create. And I'm confident that this group will do that. It probably will take them a little while to get their legs under them and figure, you know, find their direction and figure out what they're doing. It's something totally new. But we've chosen a very dynamic group, and those decisions were tough because every applicant was really good, and we were impressed by all of them. But ultimately, we tried to create as much diversity and opinion as we could within that group. We didn't choose a group that all thought alike. We tried to find people who thought a little differently because, you know, if you look around young people, it's no different than any other generation. There are many different voices, and we wanted to bring several of those to the table.
You mentioned earlier that some of the site selection firms you'd met with in Atlanta were led by younger people who were taking a different approach to looking at what they thought about communities. Could you use this group, this youth council, to give you advice for these economic development junkets? Because it seems like it's a concern that Crawfordsville is perhaps not seen as hip enough, perchance, and maybe the kids could help with that somewhat.
Oh, most definitely. You know, and I threw this out as an example, talking to some of these groups that we had created this council, and you know, this is kind of the vision and what we planned for them to be doing, and it caught the attention of some of those younger groups. They liked that idea. I'm sure we will get a lot of good input from this group. It will just be, you know, harnessing that in a way that's productive and for them to find ways to come together in how they speak. And when we interviewed these young people, I posed several questions to them. But, you know, one was the fact that there's so much turmoil politically in our country, especially at the national level. And I challenged them to think about how their generation can change that. And it's interesting because right out of the gate, they would say, well, you just need to listen to people and do what people want, and it'll be fine. But when I made them think about the fact that not everybody wants the same thing, and you know, people are very, very strong in their views, then they realize the complexity of this. So I think this group will grow into that.
In just our last couple of minutes, one or two more quick things. The new clock tower that we've talked about has been placed on top of the county courthouse. There's a dedication ceremony set for next month. And this is notable, I think, because a couple of citizens were the ones who led the fundraising effort for this, and it turned out to be actually significantly more expensive to do it now than they had originally thought it was going to be when they first thought of this a long time ago. And I'm wondering, do you think this is an example of some way that the city can fund projects or get people to take initiative for funding projects that might have been difficult or seen as difficult financially in the past? Is this a tipping point at all?
Well, it could be, and it certainly is a good example for, especially for young people to look at. You know, I mean, here's someone who has fought for this for decades and really dedicated her life to making this happen, and it's a classic example of how one person really can make a difference if you set your mind to it and work hard at it. And she could have given up anywhere along that line, and she didn't. She stayed the course. You know, most of the money in the clock tower is private contributions, and I can't speak to the county side. They may have a little tax money in there, I'm not sure, but the city contributed money, but interestingly enough, was not tax money, was through private donations that I had received from foundations and such. So it's just, you know, it's leveraging a little bit of resources to make something really great happen. And I know not everybody likes the tower, but, you know, it says a lot about our community. It says we're here, we're not going to roll over and die and give up. I mean, we're back, and we're going to make some things happen. And quite frankly, I think it looks pretty good.
Is this just a nice thing to have on the courthouse, or do you think it has a deeper meaning than that?
Oh, it has much deeper meaning, you know, and I heard that day when it was being erected. I got to walk around a little bit. I kind of had a tight schedule, but I walked around a little bit, and to hear what people were saying, it wasn't about the tower in and of itself. It was about the pride of a community and not being, you know, chopped off and squashed down like we had been. People were saying, you know, we're back, and we can make things happen, and we can do good things, and it's far more than just a tower on top of a building.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time, which you can now tell from that clock tower. We appreciate it. And
thank you.
We'll do it again next month.
Very good. Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We'd like to point out that coming up next month, you'll have a guest host for these Ask the Mayor programs. Charlotte Tuggle will be sitting in for June. So send your questions for her shows to the email address ask@WBAA.org. And you can always tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter as well. And remember, you can find archived versions of all of our Ask the Mayor programs by visiting our website, WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.